To bring us case studies of successful audio campaigns, please welcome the Commercial Digital Director of Global, Oliver Dean.
Thank you, everyone, for having me here. Thank you to the guys of Rain for the invite. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Ollie. I work at Global. For those of you who don't know what Global is, it's a media and entertainment group here in the UK. And specifically, I spend most of my day job working on this product here called DAX. Now, before I start my presentation, can I just get a show of hands in the audience? Who here creates audio content or an audio service? Right, it's quite a few of you. Who's here is in the business of selling it, be it tech, be it a sales house? Who's the commercial side? Okay, and who's the demand side? Who actually buys this stuff? A couple of hands in the cheap seats there. There's a lot of you who didn't have your hands up. What do you do? But anyway, the reason I ask this is purely for my own benefit, just so I can get a bit of an understanding of the way that I can pitch a lot of what I talk about. So for those of you who don't know what DAX is, as I said, it's the UK's first digital audio advertising platform. Now, we launched DAX in the UK last year simply because we at Global thought that a load of people were spending a load of time streaming a load of audio, and because it was all fragmented and because the market was quite complicated, that advertisers weren't getting access to it easily. So we decided to put it all together, or as much as we could of it together, into a platform called DAX, so advertisers could buy audio at a simple scale in one simple buy. It's also worth pointing out that when I talk about audio for the rest of this presentation, I'm grouping it all in together. We can talk about the merits of podcasting, Spotify, and streaming services, and we talk about radio. As far as I'm concerned, we fight a common goal here, and that's making advertisers care about audio. Now, the guys asked me at Rain, they asked me to come back this year, and after my awkward introduction, they might not ask me back next year. They asked me to talk about case studies and what makes audio successful. Now, specifically what I'm going to talk about is the successful part. I'm going to look at some of the campaigns we've had over the last year and cover what I think makes audio successful to advertisers. And specifically, in a world where advertisers have more choice than ever, and their opportunities are growing way more than their actual budgets are. Stuart and the panel earlier covered it. If they're going to start buying this thing called digital audio, they're going to need to take that money from somewhere. That could be a channel that they're already using, that's already tried and tested. We collectively as an industry need to define, prove, and establish a role that digital audio should play in an advertiser's communications mix. Now, but we've got an edge, and we've got an edge in a part of the industry that everybody is going crazy about. And to read this quote, actually, I'm going to start out. So it's from McKinsey & Company, the management consultancy. So it says, on-demand audio allows you to consume content while you go about living your life. You don't need to be tethered to a chair, eyes glued to a screen. You can listen while you jog, do laundry, perform a multitude of tasks, and you can do it while you're reading. You can do it while you're reading and watching a video. What I take from this is that audio is one of the best, if not the best, ways of consuming content while remaining mobile. And that's a big thing. And as I said, this is true across all radio, irregardless of what that content is, all audio, I should say, irregardless of what the content is. And when you actually look at numbers and how people spend their time in their smartphone device, audio is currently the third most popular activity on a smartphone, in that sense. Now, when you overlay ad investment data into that, or specifically digital ad investment data into that, you see quite an alarming depth between the time people spend and the money that advertisers spend. So this chart says two things to me. It says, one, that there is a massive opportunity. And for any advertiser who wants to reach or affect behavior of a mobile audience, audio is something they must consider. Consider being the operative word. Also says something else. Is that as an industry, we haven't quite got to grips with what to do on audio and mobile, because people would already be in it in a big way. Now, which leads me to what I believe our defining role for audio is and why advertisers should use audio. And that is, I've condensed it down to a sentence, which is to deliver emotional and personal messaging at moments that matter. Now, there's a few things in this sentence, so specifically three things. There's emotion, there's personal, and there's moments that matter. And I'm going to spend the next 20 minutes talking about each and every one of those singly. So first up, let's talk about emotion. And this is where we talk about the actual creative output of an ad. Why should advertisers care about emotions? Well, quite simply, they drive profits. These are the results from over 1,000 different IPA case studies. And it shows that emotional-led campaigns lead to significantly higher profits than rational sales-led messaging, or indeed a combination of the two. That's really powerful. And the answer of why audio does emotion so well, Well, that answer is can be found in the way that our brain subconsciously deals and processes audio. Now, well, I am, of course, talking about neuroscience. And in order, we did a study at DAX. And in order to do it, obviously, neuroscience isn't something a lot of media companies are that specialist in, so you've got to call in the specialist. Now, this very reassuringly intelligent-looking guy here works for a company called Neurostrata. They're a neuromarketing consultancy, and they specialize in measuring the subconscious way your brain deals with messaging. And we did a big, long study with them. I'm not going to share it all today, but I'm just going to do two charts on it. What these guys did was they took 1,500 people, and they exposed them to messaging across different channels. So to be clear, it was the exact same message, but these 1,500 people were exposed to it across video, across display, and then across audio. And what they did was they used 150,000 data points in order to measure the way people subconsciously reacted to these different messages. Now, what you will find is that there's a role for every channel to play in that sense. Display was seen as very good at reaffirming the image of a product, so reminding people of what a product or a brand actually looks like. Video was particularly good at driving salience. So what I mean by salience, I mean like making a product tangible to someone in that sense. Two things audio excelled at. There was loads of other stuff we measured, but I'm going to pick these two things out. One is trust, because it's such a big subject for advertisers right now. And the other one is desire. I've put intent down here. So what that means specifically is, I feel this product is for me. I will go out and buy it. I will sign up to this website. So two incredibly powerful things that audio is incredibly good at. And I'm going to just spend a little bit of time talking about why I think audio does trust and intent to very, very emotional reactions to an advert. In that sense. And the answer to this actually lies before we were even born, believe it or not. This is my nod to the Institute of Science. The fetus starts developing the ability to hear at 3 weeks, in that sense. That's quite crazy when you think about it that way. At 25 weeks, it starts to develop memories through hearing. And then by 35 weeks, it can actually respond to different types of feelings, largely through things like voice and tone and music, in that sense. So before we're even born, our sense of hearing and producing audio messaging is already very, very highly tuned. Now, this chap here doesn't work in a digital department of an agency. It's the gag. It's taken me 12 minutes to get a laugh. I put it down to the European audience. Leo Tolstoy's writer of War and Peace, one of the most famous writers in the world. He wrote that music is a shorthand of emotion. In that sense. So that's not a musician, this is a writer. Now, and what we also know is that music can have a disproportionate level of effect on the success of an ad, in that sense. So Lloyds is a big bank. Let's get specific here with the campaign. Large bank in the UK, and they've got a very successful TV ad right now. It's got a song by Birdie called Wings, an acoustic version. It's gone into the charts. It's been very, very successful, the most Shazam song around, largely due to the ad. I'm going to play you the ad so you know what it looks like. Sorry, can we turn that? Cheers. So, I mean, this is a beautiful ad. The music plays a really big part of the actual success of it. But when you start to put this in front of a mobile audience, it looks a bit like this. One of the things that makes it so successful, its music, is actually dumbed down. But this is a huge opportunity for us, because as an audio ad, when people are out and about on their mobile, it could feel like this. The point I'm making, this isn't just a rarely idiotic thing of trying to take a dig at video. This is the idea that there is this opportunity that advertisers are missing out with audio. And when they've got very strong sonics, be it a voice, be it a sonic logo like McDonald's, or be it an actual song in their ad, there is a wonderful opportunity for audio to deliver branding on the move while people are out and about on high streets with their smartphones going about their daily busy lives. Now, another thing that audio does incredibly well is that in the absence of visuals, it forces your brain to create your own pictures. So actually, in many cases, people aren't restricted by the pictures that are put in front of them. So listen to this piece of audio.
Magical. To take your eyes on a journey across hundreds of miles of African landscape is to rest your eyes to a peace never known before. And to bring you so close that you're eye to eye with a Rothschild giraffe. And then to reset your soul as you align to the rhythmic chanting of Maasai warriors. You have to go to Africa, yes, but you've got to go to Kenya.
Amazing ad, isn't it? Puts you right there, puts you right on those Kenyan plains. And if you think about what you're thinking about right now, what it would like to be there in front of that giraffe, does it look like this? No, of course it doesn't, because this is an art director's photo. This isn't your picture. What you've all done right now, and I'm willing to bet your picture is better than this one, because you've all drawn on all your memories in your brain that you've had in all the various years you've had on the earth, and you've created your own powerful image. It's the case that often the anticipation of what something might be like can sometimes be better than what it actually turns out to be. Point I'm making is that things sometimes sound a little bit better, a little bit better than they look. Now, another thing is I talked about is trust, okay? So I'm going to dwell on this bit for a second. There was a test done in the UK many years ago called the Mega Lab Truth Test. And what that was a very, very famous broadcaster called Sir Robin Day loved films. And what he did was he produced loads of different reviews of movies. In some he lied, and in some he told the truth. And then he published all of those different results across a variety of different things, like TV, like newspapers, and radio. And then what he did was he asked people whether he was telling the truth or the lies. Exact same wording. And what happened was people were very, very, very incrementally able to understand whether he was lying or telling the truth when they heard it on radio. So we've updated, and this is my quite risky crowd participation point today, we've updated this method for the cosmetics industry, which is an industry that probably has a bit of skepticism, particularly around things like airbrushing and claims about making you look 25 years younger. So I'm going to play you a piece of audio where three women are going to say exactly the same thing, right? One of them is telling the truth, and I need you to guess which one it is afterwards.
I think probably for me it would have to be my Bobbi Brown concealer stick, because it goes everywhere with me. It just covers up a multitude of sins, late nights, bit of dryness, whatever. It's perfect. In your handbag, done. I think probably for me it would have to be my Bobbi Brown concealer stick, because that goes everywhere with me. It just covers up a multitude of sins, like late night, a bit of dryness, whatever. It's perfect. In your handbag. Done.
I think probably for me it would be my Bobbi Brown concealer stick, because it goes everywhere with me. It covers up a multitude of sins, like late nights, a bit of dryness, whatever. It's just perfect. In your handbag. Done.
Who's telling the truth? Yes, exactly. Yes, see. And this is the thing. They're saying the exact same thing. It's not necessarily who's saying it. It's not necessarily what they're saying. It's how they're saying it. And that's something that we as an audio industry really need to grasp and sing from the rafters about. First, probably mention the headphones of the day, which is quite strange, because all of this stuff about trust and intent and intimacy and personal communications is only amplified as more and more and more people spend their time listening to audio on headphones. Another thing headphones does is it brings about a new creative opportunity. I'm specifically talking about 3D sound. So this is called the binaural head. It sits back in our 3D studio, back at Global, and enables us to build ads in 3D sound. So what I'm specifically talking about, if it's an ad for an airline and a plane flies over your head, you hear it in one ear and it flies overhead in the other ear. So check out our website, actually, if you want to hear how that sounds. Wouldn't work in the auditorium. I'll move on. So what I'm saying to close this section is audio isn't going to put an advertiser in front of someone's eyes, but it is going to put an advertiser right between someone's ears. And that brings an opportunity, being in between the ears of an advertiser, to speak to people at moments in a way that no other channel can. So I'm going to apply some of this creative theory in the last section of the presentation, specifically to digital thinking. And I'm going to draw attention to a piece of research that we did. So Dax, we work with a company called GfK Mobile Insights. And what we did was we wanted to do the largest ever study on digital audio listening behavior that had ever been done, certainly in Europe, where we tracked 400,000 smartphones over the course of 2 months to understand how people streamed audio in that sense. So to be clear, that's 400,000 smartphones, and that's actual behavior, not claimed behavior in that sense. And then what we did was we compared average smartphone listeners with demographically identical digital audio users. So all of the great stuff here we talk about, that's all in the digital audio listeners. I'm grouping podcast and radio in there all together. And we compared their behavior. Now, a couple of things is, one of the major things that was really interesting was that digital audio listeners are just more likely to do anything on their phone. They could be researching property, they could be checking out the latest news, they could be in social media, or they could be buying stuff online. For any advertiser who's got a really good app or a really good website, these people are more likely to be the people that used it. Then what we also did was we tracked what they did throughout the day. So this is a line that shows aggregated audio listening on a mobile right throughout the day. And we were able to actually look at what apps they were using while they were streaming audio. So in the morning, it tends to be like weather apps or as people are getting ready for work. In the day, it tends to be very much about spending your money while you're on your company's time. We see things like eBay or Argos or Amazon in there. In the evening, people start to think about what they're going to eat for the evening, you know, on your commute home. How are you going to, you know, it could be a very healthy option or a not so healthy option. And in the depths of the evening, you start to see people, or in Hans Bloomberg from Berlin's case, you fire up Tinder. But the point I'm making here is people do a variety of different things with their phones while they're streaming audio. And this is brilliant, because audio is complementary to all of these things. And brands can now get access to this time, these moments. But it's not just about what people do with their phones, it's also about what people do in their sort of offline world. People are going to the gym, people are meeting their friends for coffee. Every single one of these moments that was touched on earlier is highly personal. But while this is highly personal, people are also part of crowds. You know, now brands can tell stories to every 21-year-old in town on a Friday night where they're getting up for their night out. Or dads while they're sharing a joke while they're looking after their kids on a Saturday morning. Or people who've just been paid and really want to spend some money. Or just purely get into people's ears when people are walking down an incredibly busy high street. These are the moments that matter, that audio can target in a way that no other channel can. Now, one other stat that came out that I thought was quite alarming, so much so that we double-checked it, was that 75% of audio sessions don't see any other activity in the preceding hour. So what that means is, think about that for a second, that means it's the first thing, in many cases, people do when they pick up their phone. So from an advertising point of view, that's the first ad that people could hear. Maybe at the start of their day, maybe at the start of their commute, maybe at the start of their shopping journey. And the audio is a really good place to start affecting these behaviors. So just a couple of pieces of research when we get specific on campaigns now. One of the things we did was we wanted to measure the effect of brand messaging on mobile. So I've aggregated some results here. We worked with a variety of different types of insurance companies, retailers, banks, and we saw that people who've been exposed to audio advertising on their mobile had significantly higher results of things like brand trust, consideration, and personal relevance. These correlate with the completely different study I showed you earlier about neuroscience. And we thought, well, that's quite nice. So people feeling nice and warm about a brand, okay, that's interesting. What does that lead to? So that's where we brought GfK back in, and we actually measured these people's usage of apps. And what we saw was there was an average of 40% uplift on people being exposed to digital audio advertising and then going on and to use these apps or these mobile websites. That's a proper business result for an advertiser in that sense. And when we look at some specific campaigns, we'll see that you have some emotional brand messaging, so somebody driving trust or consideration or personal relevance, leading to an increase in action. So Go Compare, a large insurance aggregator, they massively boosted their trust score using digital audio, and that led to more people using their products. If we go on to Lloyds, another bank, they led to consideration. They had a wonderful emotive ad about helping people start their businesses. That led to people considering it, which led to a massive uplift in their mobile app or usage in that sense. So as I said, these are proper business results. Now, to kind of bring my session to a close, really, is the thing that we talk to advertisers a lot. It's to normalize audio as a digital platform. It's to think of it like you would video, like you would display. There's clear roles for all of them. Video is very good at expanding the reach of AV content. Display is very, very good from a performance basis and also reaffirming what a product looks like. Audio is incredibly personal. It's brilliant at producing and talking about the character and the tone of a brand. You can produce multiple executions quite cost-effectively. It's 100% viewable or audible because it just fits seamlessly into a stream, and it's got a completion rate of over 90%. These are checklists that particularly digital buyers find particularly interesting. And that's what we specifically mean by delivery moments that matter. That's about it from me, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave you with a video. It's about 2 minutes, and it's people from all around the industry talking about what they think the opportunity digital audio brings to advertisers.
My advice for anybody that's looking into the digital audio marketplace right now is to look in and look hard. This is something that no advertiser in the UK has really got to grips with yet. And I think in part that's because no agency has properly got to grips with the opportunity either.
The smartphone is such a revolutionary device and people are spending so much time with it. And to me, the most powerful advertising associated with that is audio. When people accept it willingly, it's not some annoying thing that you're trying to click off the screen. It's part of the experience.
I think that every brand should consider sound and audio as an integral part of their creative strategy. But I think if you haven't got audio hardwired in to a creative strategy, you're going to be nowhere now.
According to our most recent survey, 53% of all Americans aged 12 and over told us they had listened to digital audio. That would represent something like 145 million people in the United States listening to digital audio on a regular basis. And it's going to continue to grow. I mean, if you look at our graphs, they're always just up every year. It's just a question of how much it's up.
This is a great branding opportunity for the FMCGs, the automotives, the retailers all to get into, and they will.
For me, what I think is the biggest creative opportunity for digital audio is the opportunity to be in the ears and in the mind of the person who's listening. And I think contextually, that is a total game changer.
The shift of consumer from desktop and laptop to mobile, and of course the headphone market, just means that consumers themselves are actually driving this market, and advertisers will catch on and want to put themselves in front of those consumers.
I just think digital audio is red hot, and I think that advertisers need to go there and participate as it rises. And I think it's the smart next place for advertisers to look.
That's it for me, thank you.